3, 2, 1. Welcome into the Locked On Knicks podcast. I'm your host, Gavin Shaw, going solo at the... Welcome into the Locked On Knicks podcast. I'm your host, Gavin Shaw, going solo at about 1:30 in the morning. Very exciting stuff and a very exciting win for the New York Knicks over the Los Angeles Lakers, 106-100. This game is sort of a microcosm for the Knicks season. Extreme highs, extreme lows. Some stretches of in-between stuff that kind of left you scratching your head, and so much more. We'll get into it all right now, and we'll wrap up the podcast by answering some of your questions that we got on Twitter. So all that and more right now on Locked On Knicks.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Knicks, and we wanted to thank you for making Locked On Knicks your first listen today and every day. We're now available on all platforms, including YouTube, and you know that if you're already looking at me. And today's episode is brought to you by one of our favorite sponsors, Truebill. This episode is brought to you by Truebill. Truebill is the new app that saves you money by helping you identify and stop paying for the subscriptions you don't want or need, and can even negotiate better deals on those you want to keep. Wow, that is amazing. And I am Gavin Shaw, a play-by-play broadcaster, getting ready to do the Long Island Championships this week. I also, if you're more of a basketball fan, which I have a theory, Long Island Football Championships, I should say, if you're more of a basketball fan, which I have a theory that you are, I am happy to say that I am going to be broadcasting the Hoop Hall Basketball Tournament, which is a tournament in Springfield, Massachusetts at the Hall of Fame, featuring all the best college basketball teams in the country. That will be on Flow Sports in mid-January. I'll give you guys a reminder. Don't worry about it. But none of that matters. What matters is the New York Knicks beat the Los Angeles Lakers 106-100 tonight, and we are here to talk about it. So a lot of times, maybe me in particular, we get kind of negative on this podcast. So I'm going to keep the first segment all positive, and then I'll just put all the negative stuff in the second segment, and the third segment we can just go over your questions. But let's start off with the positive. Oh my God, what a start for this team. They got up by 25 points, or as many as 25 points in the second quarter. But even before that, I mean, there was just, it was a rollicking first quarter. Julius Randle continued where he picked up where he left off, rather, from the Chicago game. He was absolutely epic, and it was so much fun seeing the full extent of his game once again. And that's what made him such a joy last year. You were like, this is a guy who has so much inherent like stylistic diversity. Like he can do bully ball, right? Like first play of the game, he takes Anthony Davis down low and just sort of like backs his ass into him, gets Davis out of the lane and lays it in. And that was just satisfying. I think that play basically like set the tone that like the Knicks were going to come in and just run the Lakers to start this game. And that's exactly what happened. And Randle was raining long twos. He was throwing great passes. He continued to get to the rim, had another one or two like double pump layups. And he was helped by Evan Fournier, who was automatic from three in the first quarter. RJ Barrett even got in on the act, hitting a few three-pointers. I'm going to go look back at my notes and get into like some specific plays because it was amazing. Like Randle, like back-to-back hit a three to make it 28-14. Then give and go with Fournier for a long three that even extended the lead. We already talked about Fournier, but he was amazing to start this game. Kemba Walker was just he was just sort of there, but he was a helpful presence. So just fun start, and overall the aggressiveness I think is what ultimately stood out for New York in the opening like first one and a half quarters of basketball. Maybe it extended a little longer than that before the Lakers ended the half on what was about a 16-2 run, but again, we'll save that for the second segment. But yeah, the physicality, the aggressiveness, and it felt like sort of the dream of what I was talking about this preseason, what a lot of people were talking about this preseason, where everyone in the Knicks was essentially overqualified for their position, right? Like Julius Randle, like even though Anthony Davis was guarding him, like with no help, this was the Randle that he was at his best last year. He's like, all right, if you're not going to double me, like I don't really care who the defender is. It could be AD, who's like arguably, like if you were building a Julius Randle stopper, maybe you'd want someone a little stronger, but outside of that, you'd basically build Anthony Davis. And Randall's like, nah, I'm gonna rain fire on him. I'm gonna blow by him. I'm gonna out physical him. And just sort of took his lunch to start this game. And then Evan Fournier, you're saying like a guy who was the number one option on his team in Orlando for years and years and years. He's like, oh, now all I have to do is run around and shoot spot up threes and throw smart passes and occasionally draw fouls. Easy money. That is so incredibly simple for someone with my skill set. RJ Barrett, overqualified spot up 3-point shooter. Sure. No problem. Light work. And it worked. I mean, all those, like, again, there's an exponential effect, right? When all these guys play well, and more importantly, when all these guys are playing hard, I guess those two things are sort of tied up together. But it led to an avalanche on the Los Angeles Lakers. And then we were only doing the good stuff this first thing. Remember, we skipped to the second half, and that is when you, of course, have to talk about what has been the one good quality of this Knicks team the whole season, the second unit. And they were led by Emmanuel Quickley and Obi Toppin, as Derrick Rose was out for this game. It led to some really cool hybrid lineups. In the first half, we got IQ, Quentin Grimes, Alec Burks, Obi, and Julius Randle at center. I love that one. Like everyone, I always want to see more Obi and Randle, and it just looked absolutely unstoppable offensively, and for the most part, fine on defense. And then in the fourth quarter, we got IQ, Evan Fournier, Alec Burks, Julius Randle, Nerlens Noel. Again, you miss Obi in that lineup, but that was a heck of a lot of fun as well. So back-to-back, really, really interesting lineups for Tibbs as his hand was kind of forced with Derrick Rose out of the game. But my biggest takeaway from this game is that the Knicks just, they should never break up Emmanuel Quickley and Obi Toppin. I know some of you are going to say, well, look, if the Trailblazers get on the phone and say, hey, give us those two guys. We like how they play together, throw in a couple first-round picks, and Damian Lillard is all yours. The New York Knicks would probably be foolish to say no to that, right? Wrong. I want those two guys on my team for the rest of their careers. They have such spectacular chemistry in the two-man game, and now the passing is like really what's standing. Like obviously, like IQ's quickness and Obi's athleticism just leads to like a lot of fun, like dunks and lobs. But the offshoots and the counters they have to defenses now. Like there was a play that I never thought I would have seen from those two guys, where Emmanuel Quickley, he went around, I'm trying to remember the exact one. Oh yeah. So he basically just crosses over his guy, a little drive and dump off to the right elbow for Obi to hit a right elbow jumper. And that's like not really what you expect Obi Toppin to do, right? Like I know he showed off a tiny bit of a mid-range game in summer league, but I don't remember him. Maybe I missed most of the last two games, so maybe he did it in the last two games. I don't really remember Obi like hitting like an elbow jumper recently. So that was cool to see. And then there was another play that was just basically a broken play where the ball was knocked away from Obi. He recovered it and he just chucked it over to Quickley for a corner three-pointer right before the clock expired. And that was just, it was just a moment of like these two guys. Like, it's so obvious they always know where the other one is on the court, and they're always looking for the other guy. And their skill sets are so complementary, and they're both so unselfish that it doesn't feel like, all right, we're playing 2-on-5 and isolating ourselves from the rest of the team. Like, if the situation comes up where they can make a third pass and get another person involved, they will do it. But just those two working together is sufficient, is enough, and it is a joy to watch. So my big takeaway from this game is never break up Emmanuel Quickley and Obi Toppin. And then I'll wrap up. We'll take a break. I will do us all a favor. I will not make the second segment all negative. I will continue with the positives in the second segment, and then we will get into some of the negative stuff because this is the 2021-2022 New York Knicks. So of course it cannot be all positive. But first, I want to tell you about a positive that you can do for your wallet. And that is subscribing to Truebill. Do you know why free trials renew without your consent? It's a business scam out to get you. Don't let greedy corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill to take control of your subscriptions. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or simply forgot about. On average, people save up to $720 a year with Truebill. Because companies make subscriptions hard to cancel, Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap. And your Truebill concierge is there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions so you don't have to. So Truebill has over 2 million users and helped save them over $100 million. Don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now, Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It could save you thousands a year. Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. And today's episode is, of course, because they are day one, brought to you by Built Bar. I love Thanksgiving, all the good food and treats and plenty of them. But maybe you want a yummy dessert that isn't so full of calories and sugar. Well, then it's the perfect time for Built Bars. Built Bar is the new holiday dessert. Feast on something delicious and feel good about it. One slice of pie has upwards of 300 calories, and that's on the low end. Most Built Bars are only 130 calories and only 4 grams of sugar with plenty of protein. Replace the coconut cream pie with a coconut Built Bar, or go for a raspberry Built Bar instead of raspberry pie. Lots of good flavors to replace any pie. Low calorie, low carb, low fat, high protein, covered in 100% real chocolate. Built is a great option for when you're hungry. If Thanksgiving isn't coming soon enough, well, not soon, go for a Built Bar or two. Share some of your family gatherings. It will make things less awkward. Maybe Aunt Betty hasn't tried a Built Bar yet. New surprises all month. Limited time flavors arriving at Built.com regularly, so check the site often. There's nothing like a Built Bar Black Friday. Mark your calendars. Black Friday will be a huge event with all sorts of surprises. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your order at Built.com. All right, with that, guys, we are back on the Locked On Knicks podcast. We want to remind you again, or rather thank you again, for making Locked On Knicks your first listen. Please do so every day. Tell your friends, if you already have a friend that likes Locked On Knicks, tell them to listen just one more day a week because it really helps us out. And I think we put out a pretty good product. All right, let's keep it going on the positives because I was not done talking about Emmanuel Quickley. Unbraided hair tonight. I think it gave him maybe some new superpowers. This is just... Obviously, he had a sucky game against Chicago, but this what we're seeing right now is just a continuation of what we've seen from him all season, and that is a guy who is growing up and exploding in front of our eyes, and that is really, really thrilling to see because Quickley, I think I was pretty clear about it. He's my favorite player on the team last season and a guy that, spoiler for our final part of our asset value rankings that drop tomorrow, that I think is potentially the single most valuable player that the Knicks have going forward. And it's because of, like, again, the combination of his dynamic pull-up shooting, the quickness to separate, the thrilling passing, and everyone can throw out there fairly that, all right, we got to see him do it consistently against starters before we get too carried away with his potential and what the ceiling is here and that whole conversation. I would respond to that 100% fair, right? No doubt. But he was great again tonight. Like I already mentioned the two plays with Obi, but then just down the stretch, I mean, two more huge threes, a quick trigger one in Avery Bradley's face. And Avery Bradley was like feeling himself tonight. Like he would just straight up rob Kemba Walker at half court earlier in the game, but Quickley just stared him down and said, I don't really care. Then he went around another screen for right wing three, then had really nice D on Talen Horton Tucker on the follow-up possession to force a miss. And all this inspired a good question from Ariel Pacheco, our friend of the pod, saying, at what point does IQ start over Kemba? I'm paraphrasing here because I don't have the tweet up. At what point does IQ start over Kemba? Like, can you say there's a single thing that Kemba does better on the court than IQ? You can certainly say there are things that IQ does better than Kemba. And I fundamentally agree with that. If you guys remember as far back as, I don't know, like a week, 2 weeks ago, I was making the argument that, like, yeah, we probably should start Emmanuel Quickley. And I will continue to stand by that. I think he's pretty clearly the better player at this point. And that sounds very surreal to say. Can you imagine that, hearing that a year ago when he was getting the D plus CBS graphic thrown around everywhere? And Kemba was I believe a returning all-star to the Boston Celtics. Like crazy, crazy times, but I think that is where we are at. And if you're Tom Thibodeau, I don't think he's going to make that move for a while, if ever, but you don't want to be behind the eight ball with something like that. You would rather be ahead of the curve and taking advantage of the fact that you have this spectacular young talent on your team. And I just think, like, for the starting lineup, particularly, and maybe this is a good, well, we'll talk about Evan Fournier first, but a good pre-transition. That's what they call in the podcasting game, a good pre-transition to the negative stuff. There is still, like, they came out on fire tonight and then they went lifeless. And that feels inevitable, like game after game after game. Like at some point, like the passion's going to die and they are going to go a little bit like dead for some stretch. And like, no matter what, that just happens. I think you put in Emmanuel Quickley's energy with that group that could certainly change the tenor of things. Of course, then you take Emmanuel Quickley away from the bench. I think there are ways around that where you remove Quickley like a little earlier and put Kemba in with the starters for a few minutes, and then Quickley gets to come back with the bench, and maybe he's just playing like 25 to 30 minutes a game. I don't know. Is that crazy? We'll answer that in our third segment. I think he would inject some life, some verve, and a lot better defense at the point of attack than Kemba Walker at this point in his career. All right, Evan Fournier, we maybe buried the lead a little bit too long because he was fantastic in this game, and obviously this comes off a long stretch of a pretty horrible basketball form outside of that Rockets game, but a breakout performance that he needed. 42 minutes, 8 of 14 from the field, 6 of 9 from 3, 4 of 4 from the charity stripe, 26, 4, and 2 overall off those stats. To me, the biggest number is that 42 minutes, since that Tibbs trusted him to play down the stretch of the fourth quarter. When in the past, like, he had been a defensive sub, and a guy who was like, even when he was, he was obviously finished the game against the Celtics, but basically like the conditions of playing him down the stretch are, you got to be shooting lights out. And tonight he was, I'm an advocate that I think Tibbs should trust him a little more and should just, even on the off shooting night, should play through it. And I mean, the counterpoint to that is that Alec Burks has been good enough on both ends of the floor to justify not playing Fournier, but I think Fournier is like, for this team to reach their potential, like, he has to have a lot more nights like this or close to this, right? Because he is probably the, outside of Randall, he is the single most skilled scorer on this basketball team. And you need that guy to be like, anyone who fits that descriptor. I mean, obviously a case for Kemba Walker too, but you need those guys to be involved. You need those guys to be impactful players. And Fournier, I don't really have like that much specific to say about it. It's mostly just that he shot really, really well. But all I'll say is we know he's capable of that. And kind of similar with Randall, where I think Jonathan Macri of Knicks Film School made this point in his newsletter the other day. Like, clearly at a certain point, you just got to let Julius be Julius, right? Like, that's how he thrives. That's how he becomes the guy he was last year once again. And tonight we saw that from him. And like, you got to let Evan be Evan. And tonight they let Evan be Evan, and he was awesome. Negatives. All right, we'll go real quick on these because I don't want to fixate. But the Lakers had that massive, massive, massive run. I think it ended up going all the way to like something like 24-4, and it was disheartening because the starters were again so good to start this game, and it was thrilling to see this new attitude. I was like, finally, these guys get it, and then they lost it. And look, the Lakers are a prideful team. Like, Russell Westbrook, even if he's a little washed, Anthony Davis, that's no joke, right? Like, they should be able to compete with even sans LeBron. They should be able to compete with the Knicks on any given night. So I it's okay that they made the run. It's not okay that they made a run that big, right? If you're New York, you have to like at some point cut it off. And like, the Knicks just got really, really sloppy on offense. And it felt like that kind of run was inevitable. Like, I think the play that epitomized, as good as Fournier was, like, he just threw this little like slip pass to Noel running to the rim off a screen. And it was a little late going to Nerlens, and like Nerlens like didn't really see it. And it just led to like a pick two going the other way for the Lakers. And there were a lot of plays like that where like the Knicks looked lifeless offensively. And then they just reverted to like, all right, what do we know how to do? We know how to run ISO, right? We can just go ISO. And like, it was like Randall forcing shot. Like, Randall finished with a pretty poor field goal percentage because like he started forcing these like really not great looks in the late second quarter. And then RJ like was trying to go one-on-one with Russell Westbrook, and he wasn't even getting bad shots, but he's not making those shots right now. And I mean, give the Lakers some credit. They started playing really, really well. And then Russ carried the Lakers in the third quarter. Like, I don't know if I really even pinned that on the Knicks. Like, he had 18 points. He was like hitting threes. I don't think it was particularly terrible defense, but at this point in his career, you should be able to hold Russell Westbrook below 18 points in a quarter. All right, with that, let us get to our third and final segment. But first, we have to tell you about BetOnline. It's Thanksgiving, and we all know what that means. Football! And nothing goes better with football than turkey and betting. BetOnline has you covered all holiday season, more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this Thanksgiving. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. It's not just football. I don't know. I keep saying it like that. BetOnline has pro and college hoops, NHL, boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino games. So don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, we're stuffed with deals this Thanksgiving. All right, we are back, guys. Third and final segment. This is where I do something I don't normally do on this pod outside of the context of a mailbag, but I figured since I was going solo, I could use the extra content. So I will take your questions. First one comes from friend of the show, a former guest on the show, Orange and Plu at Orange underscore and underscore Plu. At what point in IQ's career will he finally average over 30 minutes per game? So I think the safe and maybe still like a little aggressive answer would be year four. I'm going to take the leap and say next season. I just think he's too good as soon as next year that he will not be sort of the unquestioned guy at the point guard spot for the Knicks. And like, obviously, like Derrick Rose will still get his time and like maybe IQ will bounce off the ball when Rose comes onto the court off the bench. All that is to say, I'm not sure if Kemba Walker will be a Knick next year. That is highly contingent on how he plays the rest of the season. And if he continues to perform well, he will. And maybe the worst case for Kemba is that he just, like him and IQ essentially switch roles and IQ is the starter and Kemba's sort of the secondary guard with Rose off the bench. And in that scenario, IQ would probably get more like 26 or 27 or maybe 28 minutes per game, like more in line with what Kemba's getting this season than getting 30 plus minutes. So I think year four is the safest answer. But if you're an IQ optimist like me and you think as soon as next year, this is a guy who can, I hesitate to use, I don't want to throw away the phrase bona fide star lightly, but a bona fide really good player as soon as next season, like against starters. So yeah, that is where I'm at on Emmanuel Quickley. I am spectacularly optimistic about his future. And I think he will force Tibbs' hand on that front, especially because he can be trusted defensively at this point. All right, the next question comes from Ripey with a crown emoji at Ripey AU. Randall getting in foul trouble made the Knicks actually move the ball on offense. Was good to see. Eyes emoji. I can't say I like explicitly pinpointed their ball movement picking up with Randall going to the bench. Like Randall did pick up his fifth foul with, I don't know, something like 6 minutes left in this game. I think it's just that I don't think it's Randall specific. It is a little Randall specific because there are certainly stretches where he's a ball stopper and falls a little in love with the shot. And there are also possessions like where he like needs to be the offensive hub and he's throwing these great passes. So I don't want to pin that all on Randall. Like I think it's more just so when the bench unit is in there, they're naturally a very passy team, right? Like Burks throws Burks, I will just say, plays very unselfishly in general. Like we already mentioned, IQ's passing. Obi's obviously a great passer, like whether it's Grimes or like RJ playing with the second unit, like they are an unselfish group who are all out for each other. And that is why they succeed so well. So I don't know if I put that all on Randall Ripey, but it's a fair point and a fair observation. All right, last one. And before I get to the last one, just because I mentioned Burks, I realized I didn't say anything on Burks earlier. Man, he had maybe the outside of that, there was a half court lob that I also neglected to mention from IQ to Obi. That was pretty epic, but outside of that, maybe the play of the game, I'll just say it, the play of the game, crosses over or uses a screen to get by the guy who was guarding him, maybe Taylor Horton Tucker, I don't know, I didn't write it down. But then just like this nasty like push / speed dribble to get by AD. AD, as he's wont to do, recovers extremely well, extends like a mega arm to try and block Burks. And Burks somehow gets this like nasty high arcing reverse to fall off the glass. It was just, It was like chef's kiss type of layup. Really, really good. All right. Final question comes from Nicholas at Breen Bang Bang. Friend of the show is a young Nico. Do you think that the Knicks will run a lineup with Fournier and IQ if they face a 2-3 zone? They played really well today, which makes sense because they are supreme shooters, which would help break down the zone. Obviously, not a lot of teams run zone in the modern NBA, but you do see teams more and more like incorporate different versions of it. I can't remember if it was last season or two seasons ago, the Heat had like a pretty nasty zone that I think maybe even during the bubble they were going to it a decent amount. And that was like a really cool like variation. And I think like over time, it's possibly like it's hard with how much shooting there is in the modern NBA, but I think it's something we might end up seeing more and more, just because coaches get more like tactically creative and like find ways to leverage players in different ways, and maybe even with some rule changes, who knows. But yeah, in the scenario that they're seeing zone, I do think that is a good lineup. I think it's a really fun backcourt, again, even when you're not seeing zone. Like, that's why I proposed earlier in the episode that it would potentially be the Knicks starting lineup in the future. But yeah, I just think there's a whole lot of skill there, right? You have two guys who can like pass, dribble, shoot, which was the premise of Kemba and Fournier, but with Kemba falling off a little bit offensively, that is not quite as potent of a combo as I thought. Plus IQ can kind of compensate a little bit better defensively. So I'm a big fan of those two playing together. And I also like them playing together in I love Fournier with the bench. Like, I just think, like, I know why you can't do it when Rose is there, because then you're just a little bit too small on the perimeter. Fournier is your three man, and you have Rose and IQ in your backcourt. But when Rose is out, the Fournier will play. They were a lot of fun. And I think he fits in really, really well with that bench unit. All right, guys. That is it for Locked On Knicks today. I know, shorter episode, just me, a little tired at this point, but really appreciate you all tuning in. As always, remember to please subscribe, particularly on YouTube. We really need the YouTube subscriptions. It is a big, big help. If we get to 1,000, Alex and I haven't quite figured out yet, but we will give away some kind of prize if that incentivizes you. Please go and throw us a subscription and throw us a 5-star review on your podcast review platform of choice. Most people use Apple, so maybe just do it on Apple. All right, really appreciate it, guys. We will talk to you soon. Go Knicks. Peace out.